We've been talking about the tests of Joseph, or the tests that each one of us have to go through in the pursuit of our calling that God has for us. It's amazing as we look at Scripture how God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's methods do not need improvement. They're perfect from the start. You can look at Scripture. You can look at the ways of God, and you can count that God has not changed his ways. And we looked at the tests that Joseph had to go through in the pursuit of his calling, and these are the tests that each one of us will have to go through in the pursuit of our own calling. The tragedy is, as God calls us for his purposes, that the majority do not reach the plan and the purposes of God. God called the entire nation of Israel to Canaan, to the land of milk and honey, to the land of prosperity, of blessing. And yet the majority died on the way in the wilderness. And we look at the life of Joseph, and we looked at the test that he had to go through. He had to pass the pride test. He had to pass the pit test, where he was in the pit. He had to pass the test of the palace. He had to pass the authority test. And the last time we went about halfway through the purity test, where Joseph was being tempted by Potiphar's wife. And the deception that the enemy will come to attack the children of God with, and especially the youth, is that no one will know. Joseph, you're far away from your family. You're far away from your father. No one knows you're here. This is going to be done in secret. No one will know. Even Potiphar's wife has to hide. And that somehow that's okay. And the reality is that in our own privacy, in our own time, we're away from parents, we're away from godly friends, we're away from the pastors and the servants here at church, the leaders, the enemy will come and tell you, no one will know. The deception was especially strong for Joseph because it essentially said, Joseph, you're a slave. You have no right to get married. You have no right to have an intimate life. This might be your only chance of having sensual pleasure. This might be your only chance of having fulfillment. And the enemy will come with the same argument, and they'll say, look at you. You're heading nowhere. You don't have money to get married. You don't have the possibilities that you wish you would have. Your life is going to pass by you, right in front of you. And the enemy will give you a chance for a shortcut to stain that test of purity, to make you fail in a way. And I like what Job said in Job 31 with verse 1. And it says, Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. And we talked about last time that there's a big difference between looking and seeing. You can walk down the street and see something that is inappropriate, that is inadvertent, where you didn't intend to see that thing. As long as you turn your eyes away, you're okay. You could be sitting next to someone and they pull out a tablet or a phone and you inadvertently see something. But for a child of God, the difference is looking. You see, Job made this covenant. He said, I made a covenant, a contract, a decision, a commitment with my eyes not to look lustfully. This is a commitment that this generation today needs to have, a commitment. And I want to speak to those. Maybe you're listening on the internet. Maybe you're here present. But if you're in bondage, if you're struggling with a particular sin, get help. If you haven't been able to beat this on your own, you really need a godly person in your life that can hold you accountable, somebody that can pray with you. I remember years ago, I did a series of seminars with Pastor Jack Hayford, who is from Van Nuys, and I would drive from Modesto for the week, and every day we'd have like 8 hours of seminars. And this is a wonderful man of God who's written over 60 books, a couple hundred hymns. And one of the things that impressed me is the covenant that he made with his own eyes. And this is a man of God that no one can deny. He was a man of God. He saw miracles in his life, amazing things that have happened that were documented. And he said one day when he was in his office, somebody came into his office. It was a lady. And as she left, he said, "My eyes lingered on her just a second too long." And he said that very moment, he picked up the phone and he called one of his assistant pastors. And he said, "Drop whatever you have and come in here right now." I mean, as you can imagine, as he's saying this, there's a room of pastors listening to him. And he said, as the assistant pastor came in, he said, "I confessed it right away." He said, the person that came into his room, he said, "My eyes were on her for just a second too long, a moment too long. And I don't want sin to have any place in my life." He said, "You know what happened at that very moment? That power was broken." He said, "You need to take your eyes very seriously because your purity will be tested." And you might think his eyes were on a lady for just a second too long. That's right. He saw something, and to see it's not a sin, but to look for 1 second, something in him called him for a check. Something, there was a check in his spirit. What you did was just wrong right now. And he repented immediately. If you don't have a commitment to purity, it's not a matter if you will fail. It's a matter of when. The only way for you to pass this test of purity is to have a covenant with your eyes. The only way is for you to stay accountable. And the question that I have for the people listening, for you and those listening online, can you control the appetites, the temptations, the desires of your flesh? You know, Jesus looked at those that were following him and he said, "Take up your cross and follow me." A lot of times people say, "Well, my cross is that I have a certain sickness." Well, if your cross is a sickness, can you leave it down? It will follow you wherever you go. The sickness that you're dealing with is not your cross. It's a disease. It's a problem. It's a struggle. But Jesus said, "Take up your cross," which means it's a voluntary act to take up your cross. You can leave it down or you can pick it up. So if you take up your cross daily, what is that cross for? It's for your flesh. It's for that Adamic nature that was born in sin. It's that temptation in your flesh that always wants to veer off. You can never get so spiritual to where you say, "I don't have a problem with sin. I've overcome this. This is no longer a problem in my life. I've got this. I'm not tempted by this." You see, the cross is for your flesh, and we need to take up our crosses daily. You take up that cross, and the person that goes on the cross is you and me. I take up my cross, and then I put my flesh on the cross. There's something in my flesh that screams out for independence, that wants sin, that wants the pleasures of the world. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved for. It doesn't matter if you're ordained. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're a youth leader. It doesn't matter what you are. If you're a child of God, if you're the most sincere person in here, there's something in your flesh that is enmity against the Spirit, against the things of the Spirit. You will say, "Well, I want to go pray." And something in you says, "I don't want to pray." You say, "I need to fast and pray and read God's word." And there's something in you that says, "I don't want to do that." I have spoken to people that came to me and he said, "I'm so disappointed as a Christian." And I said, "Why?" He said, "I don't even want to read God's word. I don't want to go to church. What kind of a Christian am I?" And I said, "Do you think that there's anything in your flesh that wants to do any of those things?" Nothing in our flesh wants to do any of those things. And yet there's a cry deep inside our hearts, the born again man, where we're born in Jesus, and that born again man wants to do the things of God, wants to live in purity, doesn't want sin, wants to serve God, wants to give everything for God. And yet we find this contradiction in us. The cross is for the sinful man. The cross is for that flesh in each one of us. What we need to do is to identify with who we are in Jesus. I can do all things, how? Through Christ that strengthens me. If you cannot control the lusts of the flesh, how do you expect God to give you his choicest gifts? Because Joseph needed to control the lust of the flesh. Joseph needed to crucify that which was of the flesh. So the question that I have for you is, are you faithful to God with your body? Are you faithful to God when it comes to crucifying your flesh? Are you faithful to God when it comes to this temple of the Holy Spirit, which is your body? Joseph was. He didn't just say he was. He proved it when he was tempted. It's not a matter of if you will be tempted. It's a matter of when. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, male or female, where you are at, how spiritual you think you are, how gifted you are. This is the way that the enemy disqualifies many choice servants of God. And this is the Apostle Paul, a wonderful man of God. And here's what he says. But I, Apostle Paul, discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Another way of saying this is each one of us need to become qualified. And this qualification comes is by putting this flesh on a cross. And there are people that listen to this and they say, I would never do something like that. I can't tell you how many times I've seen fall people, sincere people that said, I would never do that. You look at me, I will never do that. And those very people fell into that sin. And I could call it from the beginning that they're going to end up failing if they don't repent. Because they looked at themselves and they said, I won't do that. And the Bible says, God resists the proud. Those who says, I can do it. In the power of the flesh, I can resist the lusts of the flesh. You will never be able to resist the lusts of the flesh in your own power. The truth is that we're so dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. We're so dependent for our everyday walk. We're so dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit to crucify our own flesh. And then there's something about today's Christians, and I mean this with sincerity, that rely so much on their feelings. They don't rely as much on the Word of God or what the Word of God says as much as they rely on their feelings. I have met people who are in active sin, who justified the sin that they were in because they said, but I have peace about this. I want to tell you something. There's something that the enemy can give you. The enemy can give you a false peace. You can't tell me that you're in violation of God's word and because you're not feeling condemned that you're somehow okay. It's a false peace. They said, but I felt God's presence when I prayed. God is calling you. God is always, he's saying, my love is drawing you in. That is not a way of approving, of living a life of sin, of living something that is contrary to God's word. Because the Holy Spirit will never contradict God's word. A piece of an unregenerated mind and a piece of a spirit are two completely different things. And I pray that God will help all of us to pass this purity test. And then Joseph had to pass the compromise test of a different kind. You know, when you're walking with God and when you know you have a purpose in life and God has a purpose for you, if God can't get you to get off that path of pursuing God and God's calling for your life. The next strategy that the enemy will use is to offer you that same thing through compromise. I have met people who thought that they had a calling from God, for example, to serve in church, to be a choir director. So they thought their calling, to fulfill that calling of a choir director, was to somehow badmouth the current choir director. Because God has called me and I have this calling on my life. And you can put this for any calling that you like. If the enemy can't get you off the calling that God has for you for your life, he'll get you to compromise on your way to get there. So that way you disqualify yourself. Joseph knew the calling that he had, but he was having a hard time. He's a slave. And there is an easy way out. You know, if you just compromise with Potiphar's wife, you know, you could have less responsibilities. You could have a day off. Maybe she can talk to Potiphar and let you get married. I mean, when you're a slave in Egypt, there's no chance of you ever being free. You know, the enemy will come and say, this is going to be the only way for you to know fulfillment. I know of good Christian people, called, gifted people, who ended up marrying people that either weren't Christians at all or were Christians in name only. They said, I'm getting old. I've got no other chance to get married. And you could see that their calling was going to go downhill from that point on. You could see that the enemy was completely taking them out of their calling through compromise. The enemy will try to get you out of the calling that he has for your life through backroom deals. Things that maybe aren't even straightforward sins, but you know something's wrong. He'll try to get you out of your calling through friendships that you know are a compromise. Because friends will draw you in a certain direction. People that will come alongside of you and say, I'm for you. I want to help you. I'm here for your joy, for your fulfillment. And when people are lonely, they crave soulish relationships, somebody to come alongside of them to understand them. The problem is, when you develop those soulish connections with people that aren't sincere for God, they will draw you in a different direction. Your objectivity will be out the door. You'll become subjective. Their enemies automatically become your enemies, and their friends become your friends. So I want to ask you tonight, how objective are you? The people that you see here in church, do you see them the way you see them because of your own experience with those people? Or is it because of what other people have told you about those people? Do you find yourself that you have common friends and common enemies? It's a good test, because it will tell you how soulish you are. Because God wants you to be completely objective. The gift that he has placed in you is for everyone else in this church. And God wants to remove anything that is of compromise in our lives. The next test that Joseph had to go through was the waiting test. I mean, Joseph was just waiting and waiting and waiting for something to happen. And then when he was done waiting, wait a little more. And I really liked what a man of God said that really spoke into my life. He said, when you get to the point where you absolutely cannot wait a second longer, where you're saying, Lord, I cannot wait one more day. He said, wait two more days. Because you're really close to the fulfillment of your wait. And I found that out to be true in my life. The waiting test is when there's just no material progress to go on forward. You know, in those moments, God is doing something so specific in our lives that most of the time we completely miss it. Before God can fulfill what he has for you and for your life, He must first tear down some things. We always want God. God will come just like to Joseph and say, hey, I have a wonderful plan for you. There are things that I want to do in your life. And there are prophetic words. And there are things that God speaks into your spirit. And then God confirms them. And then nothing. And you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And we think that God is doing nothing. The reality is that in the period of waiting, God is tearing things down in our own life. There are mindsets. There are things in our life that we're not even aware of. And those things will come out to the surface in the period of the desert, in the period of waiting. Before God can build the character that he wants for you, before he can build the principles that he wants, things that will sustain you, your ministry, your calling, he must first tear down that which is not of him. There are things in us that we're not aware of. And in a period of waiting, they will come out. You'll find yourself that you're frustrated with yourself. You'll find yourself that you're frustrated with God. You'll find yourself complaining. You'll find out how selfish you are. You'll find the motivation for why you want the things that God has given you. And when those things come to the surface, they're not to disqualify you. God knew they were there all along. The purpose when those things come out is for each one of us to bow our knees in repentance before the Lord and say, Lord, I can't believe that this is me. I thought I was much more faithful than this. Lord, I thought I would never waver from the calling that you have for me. And God will show you the reality that we rely on ourselves so much, that there are really strongholds of pride in our lives. And pride shows up in many different ways. The biggest one is thinking that we know the answer to everything. Thinking that I've got this. I know exactly how God is going to work in my life. I know exactly how God is going to use me, my ministry. I know exactly how God is going to work in church. The focus is on me instead of on God. And the reality is that God wants to show us, each one of us, who we truly are. And the reality is that each one of us, when we find out who we are, we're going to be disappointed. It's going to be a rough time. But in those very moments, God will say, this is how I want you, in humility. I want you to know that there's nothing good in you. That your best ideas are horrible. Because in those moments of humility, God will come with revelation. God will teach you in those very moments is that you need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There are things that God wants to tear down. Now, this test of waiting will take us to the end of ourselves. And God will take us just to the limit of what we can take. Imagine a rubber band, that you take that rubber band and you stretch it. And if you stretch it one more millimeter, it's going to snap. God will take you to that limit where you say, Lord, I can't bear it any longer. If you let this go for one more second, you stretch me one more millimeter, I'm going to snap. And the reality is that God will give us a reprieve. He'll wait. And then he'll stretch again. And the next time that he stretches it, he just stretches it a little farther. And again, we say, Lord, I can't bear this anymore. And he'll let go for a while. And then he'll stretch us again until we get to the point where we say, Lord, here I am. Do whatever you would do with me. I am here. The reality is that God is working as fast as he can in our lives. We're the limiting factor. We can only bear so much teaching. We can only bear so much correction. But we're forgetting the purpose. He's speeding it up. He's working as fast as he can. We're limiting him. The reality is that we need to surrender to him and say, Lord, I give you even the time aspect. Joseph was stretched again and again and again and again. Why was Joseph being stretched? He was going to be given such a noble calling, such an awesome and powerful position. He was being given authority. God cannot give you what he has for you until he has you prepared for that blessing. God doesn't want any one of us to crumble beneath the weight of the glory of God, the weight of the calling and left undealt with in our lives, not letting God build the support structures, the character that we need, we cannot fulfill our calling. The next test is the offense test. In those moments of stretching, you know what we ask? How could God do this to me? I don't deserve this. How could God allow this in my life? I've been so good, so faithful. I'm not perfect, but God knows I've been doing my best. This test will bring to the surface the real reason why you're serving God. You know, we enter into the waters of baptism declaring something. We enter in the waters of baptism declaring, I am dying to myself, to my life, to my dreams, to my desires. I'm dying for all of it. And we come back out of the water of baptism saying, I'm living for the Lord. And we mean it. The reality is, when we get offended with what God is doing, it's showing us that we're truly not living for Him, that we have an ulterior motive. We want God to do certain things in our life. And He will do whatever He's promised, He will do. Not before He will allow our motives to come up to the surface. And the very last test, I intended to finish the Joseph test tonight, is the prison test. You know, Joseph could have expected an immediate reward for passing all those tests, for being faithful with the calling of God, even with Pharaoh's servants. And you find yourself at a point where you just can't seem to escape your present circumstances. You feel like you're in a prison. The prison test is the test of perseverance in the face of trials. And here's what the Apostle Paul says. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. I have to confess to you that one of the things that I confessed to Violetta these past days, I said, you know what, honey? In all the preparation that God for us before coming here, there are many times that I complained that God stretched us to the limit and I didn't understand it why. And I can see why now. Because this is hard. This is really hard. It's so hard to stay committed to what you know is true, to stick to your principles. And I realized the reasons why God was taking us through all the trials, through all the tests. There are certain character traits of a leader that each one of us need. And one of those is endurance, staying the course, perseverance, even when you don't understand anything. Strength of character, where you won't compromise no matter what it will cost you. And faith, where you remain in faith to what God is going to do. When we remain in faith and we have that hope that God will fulfill His calling, I like what somebody said, is that hope produces appointments. Hope will not lead to disappointment, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. When you have hope, when you stay in faith, that will lead to certain appointments in your life. And Joseph had an appointment with the servants of Pharaoh who forgot about him. But that appointment led to another appointment with Pharaoh. Joseph was still persevering in ministry, even though his own situation looked just hopeless. And at the end, where he's just persevering in prison, he looks at those servants of Pharaoh and says, "Why do you look sad today?" He had the time, he had the perseverance just to look and to say, "How are you doing?" You know, I want to ask you something today. In your present circumstance, do you see the needs of those around you? Because that will show you if you're persevering. The only person that can stop your destiny in this universe is you. God had a destiny for all the children of Israel. Each one had to decide on their own. As I'm leading to a close here, I invite the worship team to come up. God will always keep his word. Even when other people forget about you, even when circumstances seem bleak. The word of God says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Why? Because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. And the condition, if we don't give up. Do you see yourself in any of the stages that I described? Joseph had to pass his test. You will have to pass your test. It's no different for you and I. God is not a respecter of people. And I want to encourage you tonight that if you have gotten off track, you can get back on track. If you have failed some tests, you can pass those tests. What we need to do is come in humility before the Lord and say, Lord, I have failed. I confess it. I've gotten offended along the way. I failed some of those tests. But I'm going to look to you to fulfill your calling in my life, and I surrender afresh to you. I invite us all to stand. And let's worship the Lord, and then we'll conclude with prayer.